Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, let him play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Welcome back to the Black and Gold NFL Recap, sponsored by Frank Walker Law. My name is Matt Searles. I am joined, as always, by my buddies Fred and Stabo. What's going on, Fred?
Hey, Matt. Excited for another weekend of playoff football, divisional playoff. We squished the fish, and I know the Grammys are about 4 weeks away, but I'm in a musical mood, so I'm going to kick this off with saying, I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. That might be a little too old for you, Matt, but I'm sure Sabo remembers that oldie but goodie from Wilbert Harrison in 1959. What do you think, Sabo?
I got a crazy little girl, and I'm going to get some. I have no idea what some means. Hey, you know what? Today's Friday the 13th. That's why I didn't want to do the show. Well, Friday the 13th's always been bad. Then I thought we were going to move the show to 8:20 because I couldn't find no ice cubes. So I didn't have no ice to put in my drink and everything. So I thought we'd move the show to 8:20 and everything like that. Now I'm not allowed to go in any bars in Southside.
I gotcha. Okay, all right, guys. So what we're gonna bring for you guys today, of course, like always, we're gonna talk about the games that were, get you caught up in all the news that came out this past week, and talk about the games that will be, which luckily includes our Pittsburgh Steelers. Starting off the show early, we do have a caller. I'll get to you right now. 609-610. You're on. What do you want to talk about? And who we got? And I think we lost you. I think we lost 609. Well, I was quick, but if you call back, we'll be sure to try and get you on the air. But, all right,
I'll call him on the cell phone.
Pardon?
I'll call him on the cell phone. My cell phone.
No worries. All right, guys, so moving right along. Let's start off with talking about, of course, the Steelers versus Miami's Dolphin game. This is the wild card matchup in Heinz Field. Dolphins come in. Steelers trying to get their revenge after an embarrassing performance, one which, of course, we all know. Jay Ajayi ran all over the Steelers for over 200 yards. The Steelers would not let that happen again and came out victorious in this matchup. Definitely want to get your thoughts on the Steelers' 30-12 victory. Fred, we'll start off with you, bud. What did you think?
Yeah, it couldn't have started off any better for a lot of reasons. But for me personally, I worried throughout the whole game. And the fact that they scored right away made it a little more calm for me. But, just the way they came out, I thought that was a great game plan by Haley to, as he said, they threw a little bit to loosen them up. The Dolphins, I know you got to take your chances occasionally, but with the Dolphins' two starting safeties being injured, and they're going, I don't even know the names of the guys that are in there, to be honest with you, playing man-to-man, and then the corner tried to cut underneath, and AB caught it, and the safety, he was in another zip code. I don't even think he was in, but, and AB burned him for the 62-yarder. I mean, I know he had to try something, but that was bad. And then Todd Haley talked about it on his Thursday segment on Steelers.com, coordinator's corner, that third drive. When he said the night before they talked about it, they wanted to implement a drive where they ran the ball a lot. And he said, I'll keep doing it as long as you guys keep making it work. 10-play drive, all 10 runs by Lev, not once did they get even a third down. That was impressive. Todd Haley called it his most favorite drive he's ever been associated with since he's been a coach. When you can do that, I mean, you just sucked the life right out of the Dolphins. That was impressive. I mean, they came out on a mission. And just when the Dolphins started to gain a little traction, they hit a couple field goals. And after Ben's, I think he threw a little too hard for AB, and the Dolphins were going to drive down and maybe get a touchdown to get within one score at the half and then get the ball to start the second half. I was a little nervous. No worries. Debo decided that it wasn't going to happen. When you saw that play right before the half, the strip sack, and watching it again, it looked like Moore saw him out of the corner of his eye. But I don't think he appreciated how fast Debo was coming, because he tried to take a little step like he was going to get away. And I mentioned on my film room, to me, when I watched it again and again, Debo closed on him like a lion on a wildebeest. He just snubbed. Moore had no chance. And a great play to knock the ball out. It to me, not only making a play there, but it showed me that, like I said, they talk about complementary football. The offense started out on fire. Defense was holding the field goals. And then when the offense messed up a little bit, the defense took their turn. The next three drives, turnover. Mike Mitchell in the first half of the second half, you know, his first sack as a Steeler. He has not had any. And, again, that's and then Shazier's interception. I don't know if it was the call. I don't know if he messed up and thought it was wrong and then uses athletic ability to get back there, but Moore didn't see him. Made a fantastic play, and once they scored the touchdown there, it was over. It was like 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and it was 30-6. So for all intents and purposes, it was over. I thought the offense after that, they let down a little bit. They're playing to not mess up with this whole. And AB, I think maybe lost concentration. He dropped a couple that he normally doesn't. But I did like what impressed me again was, okay, they're going to win, but they kind of played a little sloppy. I love the way the defense finished. The last drive for the Dolphins, they moved a little bit, and Lawrence Timmons came through on back-to-back sacks and said, no, you're not going anywhere. It was 4th and 30 or something. The Dolphins ran and got 15 yards, which was their longest run of the day, which was garbage time. Dolphins still finished with 21 carries for 52 yards. You take that meaningless one out, 20 carries for 37 yards. They not only held, they shut them down. They said, you aren't going anywhere. They were physical. Everybody was hitting. I mean, they came out on a mission. I don't know that they let down a little bit with their offense once it was over. But I don't know if they could have played better, honestly, in almost every phase. I was totally impressed. What are your thoughts, Abel?
Was the safety you were thinking about, was he that mixed drink, that Bakari Rambo?
Maybe.
The safety that got beat on that AB touchdown? Was that the safety?
I think that's who it was, yeah.
Okay.
I think he was a mixed drink.
The play of the game, just like you said, is Debo Harrison. What did he stop J.J. two or three plays right in a row in the first drive? It was like they were Harrison was shadowing. Every time, I think he knocked him out of bounds on the first play. Every time he was just hitting this kid and everything. And I know he didn't have any good runs after that. We were talking this week, the shot that Bud Dupree hit. Anytime you hit anyone that has a name, Matt is a pretty good hit and everything. So he hit Matt Moore suck the life out of them and everything. And me and Freddie were talking this week, and I said that was the best hit I've seen since Ronda Rousey was knocked out in her last two fights and everything. It was one heck of a hit. And what I can't understand, and no one in their life, Bell's out of the game, but we still have Ben in there throwing. Not, you know, they could have taken him out. They weren't going to probably take him out with 11 minutes to go. I can't remember, four or five minutes and everything. He was in there throwing that pass and everything like that. You know, there's a good – he tells us, you know, he wanted – it's a great thing to have the big three together, Ben Brown and Bell and everything. And then Tomlin almost loses Ben, and it would have been all over and everything like this. I'm sorry. He should have been out of the game that next to last drive and everything. He's trying to make something out of – and then he says, I take the credit that I was the one who called that pass play. And don't ask Todd Haley about it on Thursday when you talk to him and everything, because I don't think Todd Haley would have known anything about it. That's probably why and everything. But it was a great defensive game. They showed their speed, and they did everything. They turned – it completely around from when they played them in the first game and everything. What do you think, Matt?
I think it was, like you guys said, it was a great, you know, performance all the way around. Pretty much all sides of the ball was exactly what you wanted to see the Steelers do against, for all, you know, purposes, an inferior team, one that had just destroyed them earlier in the season. It was a little nostalgic to see, you know, the Dolphins run the ball and then just get tackled behind the scrimmage until they just stopped it. I mean, it reminded me of, you know, 2008, 2009, when teams just would not run the football because they had a better chance of getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage than getting anything positive for it. It was just great to see. I think Ajayi was held to something like 34 yards rushing or something like that. It was just a great, great performance. And to speak on your point, Sabo, a little bit, and I know this has been beaten to death with the whole, you know, Wiley, Roethlisberger in there and everything. I think it's a bit confusing also because Tomlin said, you know, it was me, don't ask Haley. Ben Roethlisberger on his radio show said that it was Todd Haley who made the call. And then, but for me, this points more than anything to reason number 75, why not to keep Landry Jones? I get you have Ben in there to do all the checks and everything like that, but if you don't trust Landry Jones after being in this system for 4 years to be able to check or even just to hand the ball off to a run play, that's not the backup you want. You have a backup for situations like this where you've got a big lead and you just want to get your starter out of there, and you just need a guy who can hand the ball off, not do something stupid. And worst-case scenario, I don't know, he throws an interception and does exactly what Ben did. It just didn't make much sense to me. You know, I thought this was the situation, you know, to put Landry Jones in. I mean, you just can't really mess it up. But, you know, all in all, a great performance. Great to see Brown, you know, just explode like that, get two touchdowns right off the bat, his first two postseason touchdowns. Bell gets his first postseason touchdown. It was just great, and I'm definitely ready to roll here into Kansas City for sure. Any last thoughts on this one, or are y'all ready to move right along? Talk about our next game, which is Green Bay versus the Giants.
Just one quick thought. As you said, you know, they played well in offense. I will say, and we haven't talked about it yet, maybe we'll talk about it when we get to KC, but just the Steelers' special teams did not play that well. And during the game, Matt was texting me as we're beating them, like, I think the score was like 20-3, and Matt's texting me, hey, our special teams are ranked this. So look, we're giving up 40 runs. I said, and I texted Matt. I said, Matt, well, we're kicking their butts. Would you be positive for a second? But
I like,
you know,
the numbers.
So,
I like the statistics.
So he was. I said, don't bring me down here. You know, we got. But so that's, you know, that's just a final thought. Yeah, they're special teams. we're giving up 40-yard kickoff returns to the Dolphins. There's a little guy over there in KC that'll do a lot worse. So that's the only thing. Yeah, their special teams could have been better. But other than that, we're on to KC.
One other thing. Matt was texting me, too, at the same time he was you. We were talking about it, and he was – I thought he was going to jump out of his skull and everything with Fitzgerald Tucson.
Running
kickoffs. He won't have to see it this week because he's going to go with Justin Gilbert unless he makes him inactive. So we'll have a little bit of a different change. And I think Gilbert's going to play some cover against the tight end, Travis Kelce. I think he's going to play him like he did in the first game and everything.
Do you think Matt was the one that called him to get, I would assume most people know that Tucson was not listed as one of the injuries, but later during the week or early in the week, he reported the question. Like, I think Matt was the one that somehow finagled that and said, hey, sent in some kind of secret message. You better check out Tucson. You slipped him a Mickey or something, so you have headaches. I think Matt would do anything to have anybody other than Fitzgerald Tucson back there returning kicks.
Matt would have medical knowledge and everything. He did something to him.
I sent Tucson all these emails until I gave him a headache from it. And he just came into work like I got this concussion from this annoying fan. So, but you know, I'm trying to help our team out. He is ranked, I believe, I have to double check the text I sent you. I don't know off the top of my head, but I believe he's ranked 47th in the NFL in average returns on kickoff. 47. There's only 32 teams. He is ranked behind other teams' backups. He has taken two kickoffs. He's our leading kick returner as far as opportunities. And he has taken one past the 25-yard line and only one other to the 25-yard line. Just kneel the ball if you're back there. I'm ready to see Justin Gilbert do it. But, wouldn't it just be karma to have him, just have an awful game and do a bunch of fumbles and have Tomlin come out and say, this is why I was doing Fitz Tucson, Matt. Stop giving me advice. But we can all hope that's not the case. All right, moving right along to the game of the Green Bay Packers taking on the New York Giants. Another wild card matchup. This was a game that a lot of people thought was going to be a lot closer than it ended up being. The Packers ended up winning this one handily, 38 to 13 was the score. And Rodgers just continues his just unreal performance. Four touchdowns, 362 yards, no picks. I mean, when Christian Michael is averaging 4.7 yards a carry, you just know things are working with you. You lose Jordy Nelson with some rib injuries, but Randall Cobb steps in, gets 116 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, they're just rolling right now. It's pretty unbelievable. The Giants did not really have an answer. We had to hear so much after the game about that stupid boat trip with Beckham and Cruz and all those guys. It was just over the top. But the receivers, picked a bad time to have their worst game. Manning only threw for a touchdown, less than 300 yards. Not a lot going. I think their leading rusher had 30 yards rushing. It just was not a good game for the Giants. But they're out, Packers are in, and they're moving on. I don't know if you guys watched this game. The thing that stuck out to me, and maybe most everyone, was just, again, another playoff Hail Mary by Aaron Rodgers. And I was thinking, I put it on Facebook right as it happened. This guy might be the best, Hail Mary throwing quarterback I've ever seen in my life. And to that, he might be the best quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I was thinking, if you put this guy on the Patriots, you give him Bill Belichick, is it even close with Tom Brady? I mean, he's doing this with, Mike McCarthy and everything. If you give him Bill Belichick, is it even close with Tom Brady? And if this guy continues on this pace, he goes in and just has one of the best second half of the season that carries into the postseason, wins another Super Bowl, this guy will be talked about as possibly the greatest quarterback of all time. It's in my opinion, at least. I think that's what would happen if he does win this. But still a lot of playoff football left. Don't know if you guys saw this game or have any thoughts on this one before we move on. Start with you, Fred.
Yeah, I watched it, and I was hoping for a good game to watch. And early on, it looked like the Giants had them. Their coverage was great because Rodgers had time, but he got sacked, I think, four times the first half. But I think all of them were just coverage sacks. And I don't know if he was hesitating. He couldn't find guys open. They weren't doing anything. And the Giants, like you said, they missed opportunities, just dropped too many passes. You can't do that. You know Green Bay is going to get something. The Hail Mary, I guess I'd say that Rodgers might say that God is on his side. And if you know anything about Rodgers, you know that I'm being sarcastic because he picks on people for using that. But with the Hail Mary. But the thing was, that wasn't what killed the Giants. You thought at halftime, oh, that's going to kill them. Now they're down 14-6. The Giants scored a touchdown after the Packers went for a fourth down and missed it. They were within 1 point. 14-13. They're right there. So a Hail Mary or not. And then Rodgers just came right down the field in like five plays. And I think the big difference, one thing that contributed, Rodgers just started feeling it. But the Giants lost their cornerback, Rodgers Cromartie. And they had to put some, I don't know who, Yahoo, covering Cobb in the slot. Goodbye. It was over. Touchdown. To the Giants. And then they're all year, their offensive, weakness showed, and it showed there. They just didn't have enough. Like, I thought it was going to be close. I even thought the Giants could win it, maybe, for the 23-21 type of game. But I will say this, too. Aaron Rodgers didn't come out of the game either, and they were up by more than the Steelers are up. So I guess Mike McCarthy doesn't live in his fears either. So that's all I got on that one. You got anything to say, Bo?
Yeah, I watched the game the whole time and everything like that. That was a fantastic Hail Mary at the end of the half and everything like that. But I like that Ty Montgomery. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
Their rushing attack isn't the greatest, but they really know how to use him too and everything. I thought the game would be a little bit better. You got two Super Bowl quarterbacks playing each other, and it was entertaining. I watched it all the way through and everything like that. That's all I got on it.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was going to be closer, and this week of wild card games, really just no close games. It was the most, average margin of victory, most lopsided in NFL history as far as, there not being any close games. And, this was just another one of those. The Giants, they have a good defense. I wouldn't say a great defense, but a good defense. But the offense is not good enough to, help them out if the defense has an off day. They're not going to do it. But, all right, let's move right along and talk the next game, which is the Oakland Raiders taking on the Houston Texans. The Connor Cook-led Oakland Raiders taking on the Brock Osweiler-led Houston Texans. This was just, a game that not a lot of people saw the Raiders winning because you got a fourth-round rookie quarterback going in, taking on a good defense in the playoffs on the road. It was just a tough task for him, and it showed for sure. Told me that the plan was to have Connor Cook throw the ball 45 times, I would have just said, right then and there, they're going to get blown out. And that's pretty much what happens. You don't have your rookie quarterback throw 45 times. My goodness. Brock Osweiler, on the other hand, stepped up, had a pretty decent day, coming out with two touchdowns, no interceptions. And, they got a playoff victory. Say what you want about Bill O'Brien and everything, but they are still in the playoffs when a lot of teams wish they were in that spot right now. So maybe not the best game. Player of the game, of course, Jadeveon Clowney. He looks like what they wanted him to be. He looks like a number one overall pick. He's just making plays out there. So I'll toss this one to you, Fred, to start out with.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because, as you said, not much the Raiders. Besides not having Derek Carr or Matt McGloin, their starting left tackle, Donald Penn, was out. And so there's a guy that's got to take on Clowney. And Clowney had a great game. Whitney Merciless is a guy that you don't hear his name, but I love his name. Merciless, that's fantastic. And he was in there. He's a great pass rusher for him. I mean, McGoin, I don't know, they were talking about during the game, you know, could they put McGoin in if his shoulder was good enough? Apparently they didn't feel it was good enough. So, you know, the Texans, good for them. They got a win. I'll say that the Texans' time for being in the playoffs is counting down to around 24 hours. That's all I'll say about that game. Brock, good for you. You won a playoff game. I don't see you winning too many more. What do you guys say, Bo?
Whitney Merciless sounds like he'd be a trumpet player for the Tonight Show or something with Doc Severson.
Yes.
But can you imagine how good Houston would be if they'd have J.J. Watt? Or can you imagine how good the Steelers would be if they had Ironhead Jr. on the team and everything? I mean, you're down to your third string quarterback and everything. I know Connor Cook was coming out and he said I should be a number one pick and everything. Well, you didn't play like a number one pick, but that's pretty tough to go in and play against that good of a defense and everything. That's all I have on that. Matt?
Yeah, No doubt. So moving right along, enough with the Texans and the Raiders. We'll talk more Texans later. Last game, wild card, was the Detroit Lions taking on the Seattle Seahawks. And, I mean, you want to talk a lopsided game. The Lions held out of the end zone, did not cross the 30-yard line of the Seattle Seahawks all game long. And Seahawks receivers, I mean, they just picked a good time to step up. Paul Richardson had three catches. All of them were just ridiculous. I mean, reach around defenders in the end zone, one-handed catches all over the place. Doug Baldwin had 104 yards and a touchdown, stealing one in the end zone from his own teammate. And the story of the game, I think for sure, is Thomas Rawls, who had 161 yards. Good time for him to get back on track and break out, look kind of like the back he was last year before all the injury. The Lions just... They couldn't really get anything going. Zach Zenner, obviously not the answer at running back. Matt Stafford, I mean, not an awful day, but really just no real playmaker stepping up. Anquan Boldin losing his head. This is a game I almost picked the Lions in because I thought they could get hot, and I thought the Seattle Seahawks defense would struggle, but I'm glad I didn't for sure. The Seahawks own this one very, very handily. Any thoughts, Fred?
Yeah, everybody, you know, thought. I think, Matt, you might be a little too young for this one, but Sable certainly gets the reference. I think Detroit showed that they were paper lions. And I think they won with people were questioning early on. I mean, out of their first seven out of their first eight wins or something, they were trailing in the fourth quarter. And how are they doing it? I think they showed they were doing it with smoke and mirrors. They just didn't know. They made the Seattle offensive line look good. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
They're Seattle, and they were just their defense. They couldn't stop the run of Seattle. I mean, they got a good back. Thomas Rawls is a good back. You know, no doubt about that. But like I said, their offensive line is atrocious. Their starting left tackle never played football in college. He played basketball, and they turned him into an offensive lineman. He's learning on the job. So they're bad. I mean, but Seattle's defense did what they normally do. They showed. I feel bad for Stafford. I mean, I don't know how much the finger hurt him, if it's bothering his throw, but he, for whatever reason, the last three games of the regular season, which they lost in the playoff game, he didn't perform as well. So whether it was a finger bother or what. And then, on top of it, just something popped in my head, the veteran guys, Anquan Boldin getting two stupid personal foul penalties. This guy's a veteran. You bring him in so he can show up in big games and at least show. And he got dumb penalties for hitting the guys late out of bounds. On top of not playing well, they're making stupid penalties. I don't know. I mean, not surprised though. I picked Seattle. I thought it might be a little closer, but no. The Lions Detroit, you're going to have to wait another year before you think about championships. What do you think, Sable?
That was a great reference. Paper Lions. They were Paper Lions. That was a book written by George Plimpton. He was a writer, and they made it into a movie.
Yep.
And do you know who played George Plimpton in the movie Paper Lions?
I do. That's how I knew it. It was Alan Alda.
Alan
Matt
Alda.
Seffer?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah. You got to keep it in my time, guys. I don't know.
Paul Richardson, that catch in the end zone, that one-handed catch, that was unreal. And Rawls, the running back, he had a season in one game, the way they were running the ball and everything like that. That's all I have on it and everything. Richardson made some great catches, and Rawls, you know, he might be back. He might be the running back they need and everything.
We'll see. We'll see, and we'll talk about them a little more in a sec. But now for the wild card stuff, let's go ahead and start looking ahead to the divisional round. Let's start off with maybe one of the easiest games to call. Houston Texans taking on the New England Patriots. They, you know, Patriots coming off a bye, trying to get to the AFC Championship for, if my numbers are correct, will be the 9,000th time in the past decade, I believe, that they've been to the AFC Championship. Just, I'm not quite sure how those numbers work, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. 9,000 AFC Championships for Tom Brady. Truly an impressive record. And, you know, they're taking on the Houston Texans, who, all right, they had a good game and all. Brock Osweiler, you know, amazing game. He had two, you know, he ran in touchdown, threw a touchdown, didn't have any interceptions, less than 300 yards. Hooray. But let's not kid ourselves into thinking this is going to be anything other than, you know, a blowout. He felt bad for the Raiders taking on the Texans last week. Feel worse for the Texans taking on the Patriots. If the Texans win this game, something crazy happens. I honestly don't know if we're going to have a show next week, because it will mean that all predictions and all discussions about football ever are meaningless and everything I know is a lie. I'm calling the Patriots to win this one extremely handily. I mean, Brady's got 432 dropbacks and only two turnovers all year. It's, you know, he's playing lights out. I think that they are destined for the championship, not the Super Bowl, but the AFC Championship for sure. I don't know if you guys have thoughts on this one, but we'll start with you, Fred. Are you going to ride and die with Brock Osweiler on this one?
Yeah, we won't spend a lot of time on this because we have a lot of other things other good games and that we want to talk about. The only thing I will say, it's not even really referenced, but since we're talking about the Patriots, talk about the Texans. I saw this on Twitter. I can't remember who the guy tweeted it out. I apologize for that. But this was before last week's game. You know, the Texans won on Saturday. So the Patriots would either be playing the Texans or to be playing the Dolphins if the Dolphins managed to win, which we talked about. Now, this guy tweeted out, he talked to Belichick. I honestly find it hard to believe that Belichick would say this. He might think it, but the Patriots would have to wait till Sunday to know who they're playing, because if the Dolphins won, they'd have to prepare for them. Supposedly, according to this guy, the Patriots started preparing for the Texans. And when they asked, you know, about what the Steelers and Dolphins, and they said, Belichick said, well, you know. So I find that interesting. Now, Belichick might have thought that the Steelers are going to beat the Dolphins. But I would have found it hard to believe that he would actually voice that audibly, that he would say that. That is not like him. But so it's kind of like this week, I'm thinking of everybody and their brothers knows if somebody bets takes the Texans to win straight up. I'm not talking about Vegas lines. I don't know. You know, you can get lucky with them, and you know, somebody will give you 20 points, and maybe, you know, the Texans keep it within three touchdowns. But if anybody picks them straight up to win, I don't know. They need to check their medication or something. There's no point. This one's done. I don't even want to watch this one. You have anything to say about?
I'm gonna pick the Houston Texans to win.
Yeah, you're taking too many pain meds for your foot.
Matt, what was your stat on Brady? He dropped back how many times? And
432 dropbacks and two turnovers.
Two turnovers. That's about what I had against Mary Angelo when I was dating her. Two turnovers. Let's see. I'm going to go with New England. I don't know what the spot is, what the line on this is. I think it's the biggest line ever in NFL playoff.
If you want to be really bold, you can make this your lock of the week. If you want to be risky.
Well, my head wants Houston to win, but my head was going with Mary Angelo too. But let's see. I'm going to go with New England. But maybe it'll be closer than nah. It ain't going to be.
All right, make it a sweep. All of us taking the Patriots, winning this one handily. Yeah, and you're just kind of curious what the future holds for this Texans team. I mean, rumors of Bill O'Brien maybe being either let go or traded to another team. You know, if you're a coach and you take Brock Osweiler into the playoffs, you get a win, you're in the divisional round, and your team still wants you out. You know, you might be off for a better situation somewhere else where it doesn't look like you're stuck with Osweiler for, you know, the next decade.
Maybe we'll go to Alabama.
Maybe. Moving right along, guys. Let's talk Seattle Seahawks taking on the Atlanta Falcons. You know, a much better game than the previous one we just discussed. A game that I'm picking the Falcons in because, I mean, their offense is just unstoppable. And they're light years ahead of where the Lions are, and I don't think the Seahawks are going to have, you know, anything like the game that they had last week. Although if their receivers just keep making these crazy catches, who knows? And if Thomas Rawls can get hot, you know, I could be wrong. But a big thing is that this one's in the Georgia Dome. It's in Georgia. The Falcons are playing at home. Seattle Seahawks, much like the Steelers, different team on the road. They average 15.9 points on the road, which is just about 12 points less than at home. You know, the Falcons have only scored less than 24 points twice this year. You're going to need, if you're Seattle, you're going to need to score, you know, 27 points to win this game, at least, I think. The Falcons are just a dynamic offense, and four times on the road, the Seahawks have been unable to score more than 10 points. That's not good. That doesn't bode well for the Seahawks. Bodes very well for the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan is hot as any quarterback right now, save for maybe Aaron Rodgers. You got weapons all over the place. You got great running backs, Coleman and Freeman behind him. I'm taking the Falcons to win this one. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. One of the things you mentioned that Seattle's offensive line is not good, and they're not. I'm not going to let the Detroit game fool me. Now, Atlanta's defense has some question marks. They're not the, you know, they're not the 85 Bears or anything like that. But one thing, there's a lot of different stats you can look at different things. I said Football Outsiders, they do comparisons to average team, and they don't go just by statistics. They break it down. What they do is, you know, they'll rank the teams all through the season, and they'll also do a weighted ranking, which drops off the games earlier in the season, so it better reflects how a team is doing at the end of the year. Out of the eight teams left in the playoffs, Seattle is the only one of the eight that was playing better early in the year than they are now. They kind of stumbled down the stretch. We mentioned Russell Wilson's healthy, finally. He had injuries to his ankle, to his knee, to his shoulder. He's finally healthy, and they need him. But not having Earl Thomas back there, I think, really Their defense is still good, but it's the first time in 4 years they didn't lead the league in fewest points allowed. They're still good, but they're not taking – I don't know if they have the total ability to take over the game like they used to. And Atlantic played them real well. That was the one with that pass interference call at the end of the game last time. So they were right there, I think, at home. I think Seattle is starting to – they had their run, and they could have won two in a row. They came up interception by Butler away from getting two in a row. But now they're starting the last couple of years to feel the effect of having to pay their stars, and you got to cut corners somewhere with the salary cap, and they've done it in the offensive line, and they don't have maybe the depth on defense, so I think it finally catches up on. I love Russell Wilson he's a gamer. It's tough to bet against him, but I just think their offensive line is, and Emissional Thomas is going to do them. I think it should still be close. Those guys fight. Carroll does a good job on them. If I was going to pick a score, it'd probably be about 27 to 23, something like that. But I'm going with the Southern Birds over the Northwest Birds. What do you got, Sable?
This is unbelievable that Atlanta's averaging 24. They haven't scored less than 24 points. So if Seattle scores 23 points, this is how good I am in math, they lose. So I'm going to go with a final, Atlanta 24 and Seattle 23. Just because Atlanta, I don't want to say this before we get in the next game, the Green Bay versus Dallas, but I think Atlanta's going to be in the Super Bowl. I'll get into it, but I don't think Prescott can win the Super Bowl or even get a rookie quarterback getting in the Super Bowl and everything like that. But I got Atlanta, everything to beat them. They're at home and everything. They're a different team. So I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Bold that all of y'all are picking the Seahawks to score above what they're averaging on the road. I mean, they're averaging less than 16 points a game. And the Falcons have only scored less than 24 points twice a year. It just seems like this one's almost set in stone for me. But it's the playoffs, so who really knows what can happen. But make it another sweep. I think we've all agreed on every one of our picks so far in the playoffs. Got them all right last week. We'll see what happens this week. But make it another sweep, three of us taking the Falcons. Moving along, the game of the week for us, for Chiefs fans, for Steelers fans, for AFC fans, I think, really. Pittsburgh going into Kansas City, taking on the Chiefs. There's reasons why I think whether you're a Chiefs fan or a Steelers fan, you can be optimistic, you know, if not confident in your chances to win this game. I think both sides case on this. The Steelers, of course, haven't lost in 2 months. They lead the NFL in sacks since week 11. They're allowing under 17 points per game in the last 2 months. And they've got a great run game going, and the Chiefs are 26th in rush defense. The Chiefs, on the other hand, I mean, they have a very opportunistic ball-hawking defense. They will take their picks gladly. And when they get – and I was watching a lot of Chiefs tape this week, and you just see them. When they get the ball on defense, they turn upfield immediately, whether it's in the end zone or wherever. They are looking to score all the time. They get Justin Houston coming back. We'll see how healthy he is. He practiced fully the past 2 days, but may wear a knee brace, although he was wearing a knee brace when they played Denver, and he just had that insane game. So we'll see what kind of Justin Houston there is. And Big Ben has more interceptions than touchdowns over the last 4 weeks. So, you know, there's reasons for both teams. I mean, if Ben has more interceptions than touchdowns in this game, that doesn't bode well for the Steelers at all. And maybe the biggest stat that I've heard, and I definitely want to maybe not dispute, but argue against this stat a little bit, is I know I have with you guys, Fred and Sabo, but if you're a Steelers fan, you have probably heard, especially if you're a Behind the Steel Curtain, you know, member or reader, you've heard that Andy Reid is 3-0 coming off of buys in the playoffs. I've heard this one all over, you know, Arrowhead Pride, the the blog for the Chiefs fans all over, you know, NFL Network and ESPN. But Andy Reid is 3-0 coming off a bye in the playoffs. So he's just, you know, this mastermind, takes his time, formulates great plans. And that's great. But the last time he had a bye in the playoffs was 2004, you know, 13 years ago, with a different team in a different conference, different quarterback. You know, so I just don't know how relevant that really is if you're going to throw that out there. I mean, if the Eagles go into the playoffs next year and they get a bye, they're going to say, look how good we did. You know, last time we had byes coming out of the playoffs. I think it's just as irrelevant to them as it is to Andy Reid. But enough with my ramble. Let's toss it to you, Fred. You've done some good breakdowns on the Steelers going into this game for Behind the Steel Curtain. Want to get your thoughts on the game and then have you toss it to Sabo. Who are you picking in this one, and what are you looking for, bud?
Yeah, I'm looking. It'll be. I don't know how much the weather. Everybody saw. You know, the game has moved to 8:20 because of the weather, which actually worked out well for me because I was going to do from at the work on Sunday. I was going to finagle around. I had finagle the switch. I don't have to worry about that now. So anyway, the thing. It'd be interesting because the Steelers come out against the Dolphins and they kind of threw a little bit to loosen them up and then they just pounded them. And as you mentioned, the Chiefs' defense, as you said, is 26th against the run. And we were talking about a little bit before. Their defense, they don't really necessarily shut you down. They give up a lot of passing yards, but they take the ball away. So they'll make splash plays and some of the time, to use Tomlin's word, you know, you ain't going to worry about the yards. But you can move the ball, and scoring-wise, they're pretty good, but they only give up 16 less points than the Steelers did, one less point a game. So if the Steelers, if Ben doesn't throw the ball away, and if we don't allow Tyreek Hill to get a big return, the way our offense, I think Ben said it, and I agree, he goes, I tell our offensive line, Ben said, I tell my offensive line every game, it's all on them. And they have been playing fantastic. And John Ledyard, who works inside the pylon, he does stuff, he's a great, he's from Pittsburgh, Steelers fan, he does great breakdowns. He was showing Villanueva earlier in the year struggled. He has been playing fantastic, not only in pass blocking, which is continually getting better, in the run game, which you think for a size he would maul people, but he wasn't early on. He had some nice combo blocks on Bell's 26-yard touchdown. Well, it was a touchdown, and they overturned it to the 1-yard line. Combo block for Foster and peeled off and crushed the linebacker. He's just playing fantastic. I think most people agree, our weakest, if you will, offensive lineman. And he's playing very well right now. If those guys can continue to play like they're playing, I mean, whichever way they want to bring up the game plan, but I know part of it has to be running Bell and just pounding against that Chiefs defense. A couple of things, like you said, with the 26 against the run, again, with the football outsiders, they hadn't, that was statistically, but against, they had them 14th, I don't know, they had 26 against the run, 7th against the pass, and that's including 10. And they don't have, even with Justin Houston, the Chiefs only had like 28. They didn't have a lot of sacks, and they missed him for part of the year. And D Ford, he only had 4 in the 5 games, and D Ford picked up. But the one guy they missed, their run-stopping linebacker, Johnson, and that's kind of when their run defense started to go down. The guy you have to watch out for on the defensive line, I know Don Terry probably knows, but Chris Jones, a rookie, who I loved in the draft. Just a monster. Mm-hmm. He's like 6'6", 6'7". He's raw, but he can blow up the run. He can wreck the game. So they have to watch out for him. But our defense, they're getting there. You saw it even against the Dolphins. They have to use it, and Butler acknowledged it. I mean, they kind of used the revenge motivation. You know, hey, the Dolphins ran for 200 yards on us. They challenged our manhood. So they Steelers took that to heart. They watched the tape, owned it, so you're not going to let them do it again. And you saw the very first play, as you mentioned, Sabo. Debo came out and knocked him around the first few plays, chased him out of bounds, he lost 3 yards. They took their will away. They hit. One of the things we talked about, where the Steelers' defense falters was missed tackles. I don't know if I saw – I can't think of a play where they missed tackles against the Dolphins. They were in their gaps. They tackled fantastically. They played physical. Well, Butler acknowledged that the Chiefs are going to use the same thing. I mean, we kicked their butt back in week 4. And so the Chiefs are going to use that same motivation. The players said that. They expect that. So at least they're aware of it. But if they come out and hit like that and play like that, I know the Chiefs are good. But like you said, they kind of make their splash plays. They scored on a fake punt return. A fake punt where they ran a guy up the middle. So if we eliminate those, they got a couple of, and Kelce, like I know Sabo alluded to last time, we used Justin Gilbert on him about a half dozen snaps or so. And they asked Tomlin about doing that. And as usual, he gave his closer. He said, would you use Justin Gilbert on him, on Kelce? And he said, we did last time. That was all he would give up. Maybe he'll do it. Maybe they'll go to something else. But the telling thing in these last, as the last end of the season, the two guys that you can argue that might be playing the best on their defense are Lawrence Timmons and James Harrison, the two old guys. They're yep. playing fantastic. Timmons is playing easily as well as in the last 5 years that I've seen him play. He's playing fantastic. He's an incredible blitzer from the inside linebacker spot. Harrison is just, they were talking about during the game, he may not be quite as fast as he was, but he's probably stronger than he ever was. Our defense is getting there. They are quickly every week getting better. So the one thing I'll say about you mentioned, the on the bye that Andy Reid is 3-0. I didn't think long, but I dug up this statistic. When I attend Steelers games at Heinz Field, the Steelers are 3-0. But that and 25 cents will maybe get me a cup of coffee. So I don't know how much that factors into it. So like you said, Matt, come on. That was how many years ago that came into play? The other thing, too, I'll mention on the fake punt. If you remember, the Dolphins ran a fake punt against the Steelers in the second quarter, fourth and less than a yard, and they got it. I was watching the play again because I don't know if you remember. That was the play. When the play was done, Darius Hayward Bay, Lord, he looked like he lost his mind. They had to hold him back. So I was looking at the play to find out. And first of all, it looked like the Steelers were ready for it. They just didn't stop it. They were ready. It looked like they were. And I was watching again to try to find out what the heck set this off. And it looked like, because the guy was, the guy carrying the ball was tackled, but he was laying on a player. So he wasn't on the ground, so Nick came over and hit him, and I guess that ticked off the Dolphins. And the one guy, their running back, Williams, their backup running back, was on the special team, and he started some stuff. And I still couldn't see, but I slowed it down and slowed it down and slowed it down, and I was trying to see. And if I could read lips, it looked like he told Hebe that, he thought that he was a worse performer than Mariah Carey. That's the only thing I could get because Hayley was done. He lost his mind. I thought somebody took his wallet or something. That was crazy. I've never seen him act like that ever. So, besides this, I really think if the Steelers do that, they avoid the turnovers. I don't see them stopping Bell. They can't. If they do, then they're going to leave one-on-one, and he's going to go to A-B. So if the rain or the wind or the ice plays into it, I'd say there's probably about a 25% chance that the Steelers end up really blowing them out. Believe it or not, I think there's a chance of that. I don't see the Chiefs blowing the Steelers out. But with these games, we're going to hang in there. I think they're mentally tough. We have so many, like the veterans I mentioned. But I see more than likely Steelers winning about 27 to 20. Pittsburgh's going to win. We're going to take their KC Master Barbecue and show them where to go. So what do you got, Stable?
I think the key is run the ball with Bell, just like you said. That's going to stop Kansas City's pass rush. Kansas City has a nice pass rush and everything. Since we started playing power football with Bell, that's when the Steelers' offense really kicked it in. They're not using Bell as much as a pass receiver now. Just run him. He's become the focal point of the offense. He's going to be the difference in this game. He's been averaging, I think, 143 yards in the past seven games and everything. It's got to be Bell first. We have the second best pass blocking team in the NFL now. That's credit Coach Munchak and everything. If we protect Ben, it's going to be a very good game. It's going to be on ours. We're going to have to protect the ball. We can't have Kansas City gets a lot of turnovers. We're going to have to take away. We can't give up the ball and everything like that. The best quarterback wins. That's what my dad told me. Ben's better than Alex Smith could even dream of being. A big plus is going to be our offensive coordinator. Haley is finally going to get his revenge against Kansas City. I know, talking about the quarterback again, Ben on the road, if he throws under 30 passes, we have a good chance. He's 12-3 when he has passed for under 300 yards. 0-3 is when he passed for over 300 yards. I don't want no more shotgun with this team. When you go to the shotgun and you got Bell out there, that takes the threat of him running away. I don't want an empty backfield. Put Bell back there just to give him that big threat and everything. Then that you can play a little pass action, a little play action, everything there. Like I said, can't have no more turnovers to them. I don't want no drop passes. Because of the weather, that's going to be a big plus. You can't have – quit them short passes to A.B. and everything like that. That's not getting anything. I know A.B. wants his stats and everything. We can't. We can't keep on – that's not getting anything and everything. Them little screen passes to him. I know the slant. Go with the slant because he gets them. The only way we're going to lose, I think it's going to be up to Ben. Ben hasn't been playing that great. If Ben has a bad game, we could possibly lose this game. Get around his 100-yard receiving day. Let's see. We got the big three. You know, you got Big Ben. I'm going to call him Big Bell now and Big Brown. That's just going to be way too much for them and everything. A crazy stat is now, I don't know, but Bell and Brown have come up with half of the Steelers' yardage that they've come up with and everything like that. Half of their yardage and everything. Hill, as their punt returner or kickoff returner, Central's Danny Smith, our special team coach, has to come up with something. I know he doesn't have the players. I don't know Vince Williams, but he's got to kick the ball into the end zone, kick the ball out of bounds. Don't kick the ball in the middle of the field. Try to wedge him in on the left side or right side or anything like that. Do you want me to go into defense or am I rambling too much?
Kansas City. We've got some time.
Okay. Yeah, pressure. We're going to have to pressure them. Our run defense is going to have to, if it controls the line of scrimmage, get Kansas City in second and third and long. And Alex Smith, like I say, got to stop Hill. I'm a little bit worried about Mitchell picking up the tight end and everything. Here's one thing we got to go with. The Steelers are fast now and everything. I think Tuitt might be the fastest defensive lineman out there, or one of the fastest defensive linemen in the NFL. You have Shazier, who is the fastest linebacker out there. Positively, he's the fastest inside linebacker going. He runs a 4.36. Two rookies, Burns runs a 4.46. Davis runs a 4.462. And Dupree ran a 4.56 at the combine. That was the fastest of any outside linebacker at the combine and everything. We got the. You were talking about, Freddie, about Timmons is playing his best ball. The reason Timmons is playing his best ball, because he's playing next to Shazier, and on the other side, you got Harrison, who is playing. It's just unbelievable. He's an ageless wonder and everything. And you got Dupree on the other side with Fast. The old men are going to come through in this, and the young guys. You got Harrison over 30. Ben, Timmons, Gage, Foster, D'Angelo Williams. And here's the guy. This is our sleeper of our older guys. This guy's been doing it for 13 years, and he's never made a mistake that I can. Greg Warren, our long snapper, to me, is the most dependable person that we have on the team. You never hear him make a mistake. He's down there for the tackle. You got the young guys now playing the best out. That's when they did the turnaround. You got the Sean Davises, the Artie Burns, the Hargrave, Tuitt's young now, Shazier, Dupree, they're young. Bell's young, and Jesse James is playing good. I haven't even gotten into Kansas City. You want me to go into Kansas City?
We gotta move on quickly. I want to give Fred and everyone last chance to talk about this game. So we do want to get to the Joey Porter situation and some last stuff to close out this show. But I will quickly say that I agree with you 100% that if the Steelers lose this game, it's because of Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he's not playing his best football right now. You know, at the most important time, you'd have to go back to probably the Giants game for the last game. You know, we saw where Ben didn't have just a really dumb interception. I mean, you had one of the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens. You had a couple. He didn't play against the Browns, but he had one against the Dolphins. Odds are Ben's going to throw a pick in this game. Just, you know, sheer odds. He's thrown them more often than not. He's got more picks than interceptions lately. And so you got to be a little bit worried about that. Can Ben, and we've been waiting on it for a little while, can Ben just recapture, you know, can he be, or will he be? We know he can be. Will he, you know, this great quarterback that we know he is, or is he going to keep making these mistakes? So we'll see what happens. He absolutely lit them up previously. And I was telling Fred before the show, I think what we need is, you know, the 04-05 Big Ben here. Don't throw it for 30 times. Hand the ball off. Manage that game. Don't make mistakes. And we'll get out of there with a win. I think the Steelers have more talent. I think they're the better team. The Chiefs, they're good on both sides of the ball, but in like an unorthodox kind of way. They're not the super disciplined, stop the run kind of defense. They're the ball hockey defense. We're going to get that ball and turn upfield to give our offense a chance. The offense isn't the, you know, super fundamental, great run, great pass kind of team. They're, especially with Hill now, they're kind of some weird gadget plays and stuff like that. I mean, you watch the Falcons, like the first game, Smith and Shotgun, got Travis Kelce in the backfield on the left and Spencer Ware in the backfield on the right. They move Spencer Ware out after they shot the ball. Ware runs a fake screen pattern. They fake the handoff to the right to Kelce, and then they hand the ball to an end around to Hill, and now you've got Kelce out blocking in front on Hill on an end around, and they pick up something like 20 yards at the first play of the game. They're just weird, weird plays, but they're working for them. So I think if you can stick with your fundamentals, play your game, run that ball, don't make mistakes, no pick sixes, no special teams mistakes. mistakes, you win this game. I think this is just a game for the fundamentals. Fred, I'll let you finish this one up, and then we want to move on so we can give Sabo a chance to talk about the Joey Porter situation. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, no, just final thoughts. I agree exactly what you said. I think that's where the misdirection, I won't say necessarily trick plays, but misdirection plays, I think, is where the Chiefs can hit you. When the Steelers played the Eagles in week 3 and just got totally blasted, those were some of the plays that beat them, those misdirection and screen the Sproles. And the Steelers said when they went to play the Chiefs, they just looked at the Eagles game again because a lot of the same Doug Peterson, coach of the Eagles, came under Andy Reid and looked at them, and that helped them. And but I Andy Reid's a good coach, so you know he'll probably have some wrinkles to that. But straight up, I think, like you said, fundamentally, Steelers are better. If they don't get beat with some of these this trickery, I think they're fine. And the one thing you mentioned about turn the ball over, the Chiefs said they get a lot of takeaways, but they've turned it over in their last 5 games in a row. And they had 3 of them against the Raiders in the game they won. And then they went the following week with a chance to really cement their playoff, and they lost at home to the Titans. So, and the Titans, mm-hmm. as you know, they play exotic smash mouth. So, pounding on them fundamentally, that's the way you can beat them. So I agree 100%. That's just like Sable, I think we're on the same page. Pound bell on them. Like Ben, just like last week, throw the ball 18 times. If that's the case, we for sure will win. All right, Sable, what do we got with our buddy that got shot in Denver?
The security guard wouldn't let Joey Porter in. Okay, he had a problem with him before. So he calls for a police officer that was working a detail. The police officer working the detail was one of the highest paid people in the city of Pittsburgh. I'm not talking just about police. I'm talking about everyone. He comes down because the security guard asked him to come down, Joey Porter. Now, if it's me and I see Joey Porter, I go like this. Hey, Joe, you're not allowed in. Whatever happened before, they don't want you in. Please leave. I don't know, some kind of attire, maybe you had a hoodie on. I mean, we're hearing all kind of things. But as soon as the officer comes over and say, please leave. He said, I wanted to go up to second floor. There's a party with some ex-Steelers and maybe one other regular Steeler that's playing now and everything. As soon as the officer, my dad taught me this, as soon as the officer says to you, I want you to leave, you, yes, sir, no, sir. Joey Porter was probably under the influence of a little bit of juice, some booze or something like that. As soon as they, all you do is leave. Okay, I'm sorry, you know, I had a problem before and everything. As soon as you touch a police officer, that's a felony, okay? And they were showing 4 different camera angles. Everyone had camera, everyone has a cell phone now with a camera. All the radio, all the television stations showed everything like this. I don't think Joey Porter was being aggressive to the officer. The officer is not the biggest officer we have in the city of Pittsburgh and everything like that. But it looked like he held his hands down and so the officer couldn't lift it up. Now, Joey Porter, what, 255, 6'2", 6'3". This officer is not, you know, 5'8", 175, I don't know what everything like this. But as soon as you can't touch an officer. Now, he gets out of this and everything because the DA said every camera angle I saw, Joey Porter, we're just going to drop everything down one step, criminal mischief, disorderly person, intoxication, everything. We're not going to go with the terroristic threat. We're not going to do the assault of the police officer. To me, it looked like, not that he assaulted a police officer, like hit him, but when he's pushing his hand down and everything. So now the officer's in a bad spot because he made his report and everything like that. I'm not saying the officer did nothing wrong. He did not initiate it. The security guard came to, please help me. He was at another establishment in the south side, and he came in to help the security guard. You can't touch a police officer, and he did. And Joey Porter even said this. His lawyer is Bobby Del Greco. Bobby Del Greco gets him out, and this morning Joey Porter gets on and said, hey, I really appreciate everything, but I shouldn't have touched the officer. Well, you shouldn't have said it. Just shut your mouth. Del Greco is your lawyer, got you off with everything that now you can go, and now you tell everyone you did touch him and everything. If it was me that I was there working the detail, I'd say, come on, Joey. I would probably do this to anyone, just not to Joey Porter. Anyone, just say, come on, the security guard doesn't want you. But as soon as you touch him, then that goes into another thing and everything like that. But being Joey Porter, let's say it was a pirate, you're not going to probably have a hockey player or a pirate do something like this. But as soon as they tell you to leave, you just leave and everything. Go to another bar. I know your friends are at this bar and everything, but you do not, he said, I touched him. As soon as you touch him, that's a completely different thing and everything. That's all. The police officer did not do anything wrong. The union, the head of the union now came across and said, everything's wrong on this. Now you're turning in the criminal complaint. The review board is now looking at this officer. For what reason? He didn't do anything wrong and everything. They arrested him because he was intoxicated, resisted arrest, didn't think, was drunk, and was trying to get into this, and the security guard didn't want him to get in it and everything like that. I don't know if he'll be around here next year, Joey Porter, but I don't think the officer did anything wrong. I would have tried to defuse it if I would have been there as much as I could. Say, Joey, come on, let's just leave. We'll get you an Uber. We'll get you to drive somewhere. He probably had his car over at the Steeler practice facility over in Southside and everything. That's probably how they got down there. Or go upstairs, get some of his friends, and his friends came down. Come on, let's get him out of here and everything. But he didn't want to listen. This ain't the first time for Joey Porter, and they're taking it against the officer that he, you know, a couple other times that he's been had complaints against him. I don't
you,
think the officer did any. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off, bud. I was going to say for our listeners that don't know, which is why, you know, Sabo is good, you know, on this. He worked, you know, for the police in a number of years in Pittsburgh, was a commander in his county. So, you know, as a guy who, you know, knows people in this business and everything, definitely wanted to get his opinion on this. And I think you told me before, Sabo, I know we were talking something last night about how this officer has had some poor judgment in the past, but I guess what you're telling me is in this case, it doesn't seem like that's really what happened. Like this was more on Porter than the officer, if that's what I'm hearing. But you did, I believe you said you had a run-in with this officer in the past when you were working.
Yeah, he tried to get into 911 center, and all I do is when an officer tries to get in there, all you have to do is tell me why you're there, why you're coming into 911 center. You got to be buzzed in. If you're a police officer, if you're a medic, if you're a fireman or something like that. But if I go up and you won't tell me why you're there, I ain't letting you in. If you want a tour, I'll give you a tour. I'll walk you around and anything. But if you want to see someone, then I'd rather take that person out of the 911 center and come out and meet you instead of you coming in the 911. Because I don't know why you're there if you don't tell
me
you're here to see a girl or something like that. I don't know what's going on. That you come down, that you're working, and want to see this person, everything. So I said, you know, if I go to that person, I say, do you want to see the officer? But they're not going to come in to the 911 center and everything. If they just want to, you know, I'll take them outside. If you want me to be there with you, fine. I'll do that and everything. But that's the only time I had anything with him.
I got you. It is,
he wouldn't remember
that
me from anyone.
No worries. It is curious that the DA decided to drop those charges. If you can see it on the video that Porter did grab the officer, it's curious why they would.
Yeah.
Why they would drop the charges? And I saw, I saw on the, I think it was KDK, when I was trying to find that video, that the, you know, the chief, a lot of the officers and everything are upset about this, and they're so upset that they just are saying drop all charges, which doesn't make much sense to me. I figured if you're upset that they're dropping some charges, you wouldn't want them to drop any more. But what was reported is that they were, you know, so upset that some of these are being dropped and they don't know why, they just go ahead and drop them all. But can you really think of any reason why, if it's on video that he grabbed the officer, why they would just, you know, why the DA would say, you know, just, you know, drop that, don't charge him with, you know, assaulting the officer, which it apparently looks like he did?
I don't think he was doing it in an aggressive way. Like, if I'm going after someone to harm them, maybe that's why the DA said it was a difference. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to fight him and everything. An assault to me is, you know, getting hit and everything. And it wasn't a hit and everything. That's the only thing I could think.
I guess
the terroristic threat would be like, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to do harm to you or something like that. But I don't know if he said that to the officer or he said that to the security guard. But the security guard said he had problems with him before. If you're coming in intoxicated already, if you don't have the right attire on, you know, if you don't have the right clothing on, there's the difference in that. And I don't think the officer did anything wrong.
Yeah,
I would have tried to defuse it just because it was Joey Porter. And I'll say, hey, just calm down. We'll get your friends. Let's get you out here. Let's get a cab. Let's get an Uber and everything. I try to do everything I could not to go that far for the rest. But, you know, touching an officer, you just can't do that.
Sure, 100%. Well, I mean, it's good to get a little more clarity on the situation. A situation that I think is still, you know, far from over. Yes, he's back with the team, but, I mean, you would think officer had a body cam, that there's other, you know, multiple camera angles he hasn't had today in court yet. You think there's still more to come with this possibly. Fred, do you have any thoughts on this one before we move on to our last bit of stuff before we wrap this episode up, bud?
Yeah, no, the only thing I could guess that, like, I know I agree with Fabo, and just that, you know, most of the time you just want to defuse the situation and say, hey, you know, hey, you want to, come on, we'll get you out of here, and then make it easy for the guy to back down, you know, make it easy for him to get out, because the guy's a man, he doesn't want to be challenged, so if you make it easy for him. So I was thinking that maybe they could have called Ray Lewis to come in with a bus, and if Joey could have got on the bus with Ray. I don't know. Maybe that would have worked.
Uber.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Joey likes to get on the bus with Ray. I heard in the past he likes to do that. So I think that may have worked. So anyways, no,
who knows?
Other than that,
who knows? Before we move on, I want to take a second to say that this show is sponsored by Frank Walker Law. Just as my computer decides to mess up for a second. Sponsored by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western PA and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100 ranked trial attorneys. in Frank Walker. For his PA office, call 412-212-3878. Or to reach his West Virginia office, it's 304-712-2089. You can also check out his website at frankwalkerlaw.com. All right, guys, moving along. And last bit of stuff we'll get to before we close out the show, because we don't have too much time left. Biggest news coming out, of course, besides everything happened in the playoffs, the San Diego Chargers are no more. They are now becoming the L.A. Chargers after owner Dean Spanos informed the team and the league that he will be moving the Chargers to Los Angeles. Now, I know a lot of us here are, members of Behind the Silk Curtain or the Super Bowl Nation fan site. And if you just go on over to Bolts from the Blue, it is depressing over there now. I mean, many fans just sad that, their team they've been with for 50-plus years is just leaving them. And it just kind of makes you appreciate, you can't imagine the Rooney family or anyone ever being like, we're going to take this team out of Pittsburgh. We're going to possibly change the team name, the team logo, anything like that. It's just, it makes you really, it's another thing that makes you appreciate being a Steelers fan for sure. But now we're going to have two teams in Los Angeles. Chargers will be playing at this StubHub Center for the next couple of years, which holds 27,000 seats, which is less than half of the next, smallest stadium, which I believe is the Lions, which holds 60,000. So, just small number of fans. They should have no problem selling out those crowds, I would think, whether they're going to be filled with Chargers fans or the other team. Who can really say? But now two teams in Los Angeles, it's an interesting situation. It's a situation that the league didn't want to happen, that the Chargers fans definitely didn't want to happen. But, it looks like it's happening. I was never for this. I'm a little bummed it's happening. You guys have been, fans of the NFL longer than I have. I have never seen a team move before, the LA Rams did. But now it looks like we get potentially three in 3 years with the Rams, the Chargers, and potentially the Raiders, which looks like maybe happening. So before we close out this episode, I want to get your guys' thoughts on this one. Let's start with you, Fred.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Dean Spanos, Chargers owner, but trying to read up and catch up. Most people I'm listening to, most people I'm reading are not very complimentary of Dean Spanos. That he just wanted more money, and the minute now that the franchise moved into L.A. the team's worth has tripled. So what has happened to the Chargers since the last however many years? They were good for a while with Schottenheimer. Had a shot to go to the Super Bowl. They lost the Patriots at playoff game. They never should have lost. But it's sad. And I don't feel one way or the other about the Chargers, but if you're a fan of a team and they've been there, like you said, 50-some-odd years, and now they're leaving. You can't do that. You can't do that as an owner. I know they're going to have to make money, but they make money hand over fist, these guys, and they just want more. To me, it's wrong. I saw fans outside their offices today. It was raining. I thought it never rained in San Diego, but it was raining, and they were throwing their gear down. I don't blame them. I remember I've seen. Been around enough to see teams move when the Ravens, the Browns moved, and that was weird because they gave birth to another team. I don't know, that was weird. And the Colts, I think the worst I remember is the Colts just moving in the middle of the night, packing up the trucks, the Mayflower trucks. You saw them, you see the video, and you're like, what? What, they moved in the middle of the night? What the heck? At least you're not doing that. But yeah, this is bad. They're paying a $27,000. Like you said, seat stadium. What? Are you crazy? That's like playing a night at an old Kaiser Stadium. They go from the horrible. You hear all these things about how Qualcomm is just falling apart, and now they're gonna go play. I know it's temporary, but this is just bad. And to throw it in, I'll get to Sabo here. To throw it in, you have a new coach who's never been a head coach, and he's got to take care of that situation. That's one thing why the Rams left Fisher. be there for the movies. At least he's been there. You're throwing a new coach in this. I feel sorry for the coach. Here you go. We don't know where we're going to practice or where we're going to play. It's bad. What do you think of all this, Sable?
Those fans, I would have burnt more than my jersey and everything like this. They should have burnt jerseys or pinatas of Dean Spanos or whatever and everything like that. It's going to cost him money to move. The plus was he didn't do it in the middle of the night, like you said, and everything like that. But he was making money. From what I understand, the mayor of Dean Spanos came out with a two-paragraph saying thanks for the memories and everything. But it was so just, I have to say something, so here it is. But the mayor from San Diego said he was going to help him with a stadium. So I can't understand the move. I know it's for money, but if it's going to cost you this much money, how much money are you making then? money do you want to make? And everything that you're giving up a whole fan base. Maybe he should have went to London.
It's a curious thing for sure. I mean, in the wrong way, you know, when an owner of a team fails his team. I mean, you want people to show up for your team and everything. Okay, stop threatening them to leave for the past couple of years. You know, give them something to invest in. You want people to show up to your games. Okay, build the team the right way. Hire a good GM. Hire good coaches. And set the team up for success. Stop having losing seasons, missing the playoffs. I mean, Spanos is saying, you know, okay, no one's showing up for the games, no one cares about this team. It can't be because we aren't winning and we have a poorly owned and constructed team. It must be the location. Let's go try this somewhere else. The problem is, I mean, we're running out of time here, but it rubs me the wrong way. Now we got four teams in one state. Now we got two teams in one city. Meanwhile, there's, you know, states all over the place. I mean, being from Virginia, a lot of people here are Redskins fans. Being from a state that doesn't have an NFL team, it irks me when you got a city with two of them. We got California with four, Florida with three, and we'll talk more about this next time for sure. And then, of course, get to all the coaching hires as our time winds down here. But I know for us, you're going to watch some playoff football tomorrow and then tune into the Steelers now Sunday night game going into Arrowhead Stadium, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And we will all be hoping and praying that we will have some more Steelers football to talk about next week as they take on either the Houston Texans, cough, or the New England Patriots, who we will be playing, and hope that we got some more good Steelers football to talk. I'll let you guys give some quick last thoughts before I close this one out.
I think it sums up. Like I said, not a lot of time left. But again, I settled in a musical mood with the Grammys coming up, and I started with going to Kansas City. So in honor of Joey Porter, I'll end with the Bobby Fuller Four. But I fought the law, but the law won. I fought the law. Although I think Joey kind of won this one, but. We'll end with a tribute to the Bobby Fuller Four. What do you got to finish up with, Sable?
Can I do the Kansas City with their defense? Because I had
Marcus
Peters.
We got no time for that, Sable.
He's not going to shadow anything. He's going to have. They're going to field goal us to death. Andy Reid's never. He's had a field goal. He loves field goals and everything like that. And everything. Their linebackers are going to be liabilities. They've only scored like 24 touchdowns. Watch for that jet sweep on Hill and everything like that. Just try to keep it going, manageable.
It'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. But all right, guys, for
Alex
Matt, Fred, and Sabo,
we got to
send it off, Sabo.
He's not going to throw
it out, Sabo.
He's got small hands.
Thanks for listening to Black and
He's
Gold NFL Recap.
He's got less touchdowns than Johnny Manziel, more than 20 yards.